Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Michael, hi. How are you?
I can assure you it was my editor who was up that early.
Well,
it didn't take long to get to kind of understand your thought in your column, because here's the headline. We thought the Indians could coast to a division crown. Boy, was that wrong. And if you look up on the do a little Google search for it, and you go and you type in Michael Bauman, the Ringer, and the headline on the tease page says, "Just how screwed are the Cleveland Indians?" So, Michael, I kind of get your feeling here, where you're going with this.
Yeah, and honestly, the answer is not as screwed as I thought they were when I sat down originally.
Now, wait a minute. That completely throws what I just did out the window.
I know. Well, I mean,
come on.
It depends on what your baseline is. You know, where they are in the AL Central, like, obviously it's bad, and obviously the injuries have played havoc with their plan going into the season. They had, you know, essentially six or seven good players going into the year, and I think five of them have been hurt at some point or another, four or five. But at the same time, they're still very much in the AL wildcard race. And the conclusion I drew was, I don't know what, you know, they're too far back from the Twins to make buying at the deadline worth it in the short term. And really, they just don't, they're not in a position to blow it all up and rebuild. So, you know, I think the wise thing to do is probably just stay the course at this point.
I think it's interesting that you talk about Paul Dolan in here and the way he's running the team, like he's trying to activate an escape clause in the team stadium lease. Did you just do that because of the movie? Because of
yeah.
Okay, I'm just making sure. Unless you knew something that you were about to drop a major bombshell here in Cleveland.
No, there's already a team in Miami, so that wouldn't work this time anyway. So.
But there isn't one in Portland.
That's true.
And Nashville could use one.
Don't do that, Andy.
I'm just saying. I mean,
come on, man.
This is a city that lost its football team, so we got to remember where we are sometimes. What are your thoughts on the way the Dolans are running the team, based on what you're saying in the story, and how can they overcome some of the issues they're having right now?
I mean, I think I made it. That's where the problem is, because it's not. You know, I'm sympathetic to a point to the fact that the Indians don't seem to draw that well, even when they're winning. But we've seen other teams in similar markets. Certainly Cleveland is no smaller market than Milwaukee, and Milwaukee's been very aggressive in the free agent market. And in terms of locking up their own players, taking advantage of other teams' salary dumps, and they've turned into one of the best teams in the National League because of it. And so, you know, when you see, you juxtapose that, or even what the Reds have done, the Reds took advantage of a lot of salary dumps from teams like the Dodgers, which seems like a ridiculous thing to even consider happening. The Reds taking on salary from the Dodgers because they're trying to win, and they built. You know, I thought they had a pretty good off season, even though they're not exactly in the at the forefront of the NL Central. But it's the team building approach, just from the way it looks from the outside, is that the top priority is to not spend more than a certain amount on player payroll. And if they're able to build a winning team in spite of that, then so much the better. But what's happened to the team this year is reflective of where the priorities from the offseason were.
Michael Bauman joining us. Michael, if you're the Indians right now, and you know, you laid it out really well. Obviously, they're hard-pressed to catch the Twins. I don't think anybody expects that to happen. You never know, but we don't expect it. They're in the wild card race. Are you going to play it out? I know you touched on that a little bit. Or does the idea of turning Trevor Bauer, who doesn't seem to want to sign a long-term deal here, Brad Hand, who's hotter than he's ever been in his life, Carlos Santana, who's a nice player but is in his early 30s, like 32, 33, and under contract for another year. Does the idea of turning those three guys into a bunch of younger players who might be here long-term appeal to you?
Well, if I were running the Indians, the first thing I'd do is photocopy Nolan Arenado's contract and take it to Francisco Lindor and say, here, why don't you take a look at this? And that doesn't seem like something that Paul Dolan's really interested in doing. So where I come down in terms of that rebuild, if they're shopping Trevor Bauer or they were shopping Corey Kluber over the offseason, you know, are you going to roll that over into a team that is better able to contend than this one in the 3 years before Lindor leaves in free agency? And the answer to that question is almost certainly no. So if you're going to do that, if you're going to trade those guys, you need to start exploring a trade for Lindor. And then what do you do after you trade, you know, your franchise shortstop, the kind of position player prospect young position player who comes along, you know, once every second or third generation in terms of the total package, and you've already stated publicly that you're not willing to spend big on free agents. I just don't know, like, at what point do you win? That's really where that plan starts to fall apart. So that's why I'm in favor of just riding this out, because it doesn't seem like they're going to fund a better plan to contend at any point in the timeline.
You know, the thing of it is, and I agree with you about the Arenado contract, at some point, you've got to keep the guy. Lindor's been the best player this franchise has had in some time, and especially when it comes to face of the franchise. But he has to be willing to stay, too. I wonder if he would for the right amount of money. I don't know that. I wonder if they know that. But at some point, I think you just can't sit here and be left holding these players who probably aren't going to stick long term and might lose trade value, can you?
Yeah, and I'm sympathetic to that, but the problem with only having, you know, six or seven guys who could bring back something substantial in terms of trade is, let's say you trade Hand, you trade Bauer, you trade Kluber in the offseason when he's healthy again, you eventually go out and trade Lindor. That doesn't necessarily guarantee you a team that's going to contend without substantial outside help from free agency and veteran players, and, you know, the Indians farm system's fine. It's not, you know, what the Padres were looking at going into the season. So at some point, you're going to need to either spend to keep some of these players. And Bauer he's a unique case, I think. You know, he's stated that he's only willing to accept one-year deals for his career. And more power to him if that's where he ends up lining up. But, you know, Lindor is really the big, you know, if you don't sign him, what are the odds that trading anybody on that roster is going to get you another Trevor Bauer, let alone another Francisco Lindor? I just look at the success rate for prospects. I don't really see it.
When you look at the Indian season as a whole, and let's go back to the main thought of your piece, at what point do you think the Indians front office just said, was it, you know, Kluber getting hurt, or was it, you know, as you look at the graphic on your page, is it May 6 when the team's crossed over by the odds of winning the division? You know what I'm saying? At what point do you think the Indians said, this is what we're going to do, this is what we need to do, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh boy, where are we going with this?
So the thing is, the plan, as annoying as I found it from like a competitive standpoint, it should have worked if they hadn't been so unlucky in terms of injuries, and the Twins are probably like 15 games ahead of where I expected them to be at this point in the season. I don't know if there was any way to predict that they were going to be this good. I think, you know, if you're looking for a point, the oh crap moment, it's when the Twins didn't cool off, because, you know, Cleveland's still keeping pace with the AL wildcard contenders. But the big problem just is the division is, and specifically the Twins, are so much better than anybody anticipated.
You know, Michael, it's almost stunning that the Indians are even in contention for the wild card, considering they were built around starting pitching. Carrasco's out indefinitely. Corey Kluber's out indefinitely. You hope to get him back sometime in maybe August. Trevor Bauer hasn't pitched the way that he's supposed to pitch. It's stunning to me. And Clevinger's been out. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the fact that they're even in the wild card is, to me, almost fascinating.
Yeah, and
they're not scoring.
Right. The offense is, it's a two, maybe three person lineup at this point. And I think everybody sort of suspected that that had a possibility to happen. Bauer's still been pretty good, even if he has, like, he was so good last year that he could take a step back and still be a quality, maybe number two or three starter. And I think that's about where he is. Shane Bieber's been an unbelievable find. This is not the pitcher he was coming out of college. And you know, they just seem to be able to get the most out of, you know, guys like Clevinger, guys like Bieber. Zach Plesac's been good. Mm-hmm. You know, in his short major league tenure. So, you know, they're still developing pitchers, maybe not to the level that Kluber and Bauer were at last year, but, you know, they can find guys to go out and give them, five decent innings and keep them in games. And that's what's kept them in the race so far.
You know, we sit here, we talk about guys like Bobby Bradley, and we wonder about some of the guys when it's time to give up on them. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are if you think the Indians could be headed for a split between Terry Francona and the front office. Like, I wonder, I think one of the reasons this team has been so successful is because they seem to be on the same page and everything seems to be working. But I got to think there's a point of frustration where you may have guys who are on the field every day who are running this team that may not be on the same page with the guys who are running things in the front office. I wonder when we hit that point, if we hit that point.
Yeah, and I don't have any information on Terry Francona's state of mind, but there probably is a point. That's why he left Boston. He and the front office weren't on the same page anymore. And so much of this team's success, I think the reason they thought they could pull off a division title with the roster they brought in the season is Francona's such a good tactician that he's been able to get below average players into positions to make them look good. And, you know, that we didn't see this, or we saw this most clearly in the 2016 playoffs, and he's done it, you know, really ever since. So, you know, he's getting up there. If it becomes clear that this window is closed, he's getting older. I don't know if he has the inclination to stick around for a very long rebuild, but, you know, I don't see any reason to think that that's going to happen soon. But, you know, I could be wrong.
So, Michael, roll with it the rest of this season. See what happens, and then in the off season, maybe get creative.
I mean, you don't have. That's the thing. That's the most frustrating thing about teams that are trying to contend and have obvious holes. You don't have to get that creative now. The league has pulled the rug out from under the free agent market so much. You can just go buy quality players, and that's all it takes. You know, they're one or two quality hitters away from having avoided this, and that's what would frustrate me most if I were a Cleveland fan.
Michael, we appreciate the insight. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Thanks,
Michael Bauman from The Ringer. Interesting story that is out there right now. Go take a read because Michael did a great job getting into this. We thought the Indians could coast to a division crown. Boy, was that wrong. It's on The Ringer, and it was posted 2 days ago.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.